welcome to Not Your Mother's Archie, the Mom and Son Riverdale Review Podcast. I'm Jimmy, and with me as always is my mom, co-host, and resident Archie expert, Janet. Say hi.
Hi, everybody.
So this is a very special episode because we are together in the same room.
Yay!
We are in California together.
In the kitchen!
In the kitchen, yeah. In our state-of-the-art podcast studio, aka the kitchen. So, we reviewed and watched episodes 107, In a Lonely Place, and episodes 108, The Outsiders. And as always, we'll go into the IMDb explanations of the episodes, and then we'll go into it. So, for episodes 107, In a Lonely Place, it goes as follows. New rumors swirl when a major piece of evidence is mysteriously destroyed. Cheryl approaches Betty with an unexpected proposal. And for episode 108, The Outsiders, it goes as follows. Archie and his friends pitch in to help Fred, but when one of them is attacked, they come up with a plan that lands them in Southside Serpent territory. And a lot of other things happen in 108. There was a baby shower for Polly in which they brought the two warring sides of the Coopers and the Blossoms together. And that turned out not as we expected. 107 in a Lonely Place, we got to see more of Jughead's dad. We learned where Jellybean was. She's alive.
Yay!
And we saw the end to the Veronica Hermione Lodge sort of tete-a-tete. I mean, we just talked about it right now, but let's just dive into that. Jellybean is alive. I thought she was dead.
Well, I think it was kind of cool that Jellybean, a.k.a. JB, that's what she wants to be called now, is 10 years old and listens to Pink Floyd on vinyl. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's very cool. Is JB a character, Mom? Is that why it was a thing? Do you know?
I don't know. All I know is that Jughead said that Jellybean wants to be called JB.
Yeah.
But you mean in the old Archie?
Yeah.
Don't recall, because as you know, all I care about is my few guys, Archie and Veronica and Betty.
Is Jellybean really her name? That's what gets me. I know there's a lot of stuff happening, but is Jellybean really her name?
Yeah, I'm sure, because his name is Jughead.
Yeah, okay.
And they both start with J.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
J.C., J.C. Okay.
Done.
Oh, no, not Cooper. Jughead's last name's not Cooper.
What is Jughead's last name?
I used to know.
I don't know.
Jones.
Jones. Jughead Jones.
J.J.
Oh, an allusion to J.J. Abrams. Ooh. This is all part of his psyche for the next Star Wars, episode 9.
Oh my gosh. With the walkers.
The walkers?
The
at-at walkers?
No, the walkers. You know, the walkers in the Game of Thrones.
Oh, the White Walkers. Oh, guys, okay. This is all one big nerd mashup.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay.
So I thought these were very slow episodes. Not a lot seemed to happen. I didn't have many notes for this.
No, I actually was looking at Facebook while I was watching it, which I usually don't do. I'm usually intensely involved, but it was a little boring here and there.
Yeah, both of these seemed a little boring. They had, like, maybe a few large set pieces, but rather than that, not much happened. Let's talk about the references to 107 and 108, In a Lonely Place and The Outsiders. So as we've learned, as we've come to realize, all of the titles are references to other sorts of media.
Right.
Right? So 107 In a Lonely Place is a 1950s film noir starring and actually produced by Humphrey Bogart.
Oh.
Yes. And the synopsis of it is a troubled screenwriter is suspected of murder.
Ooh.
Do we know any troubled screenwriters Ooh. Who might have been suspected of murder in 107?
Ooh, J.J.
Maybe. J.J. Abrams again.
Jughead Jones.
Jughead Jones gets suspected of murder.
Poor Jughead Jones.
He's just trying his best.
Oh, he's trying to get by life. Oh my goodness.
That was a rough scene. And that was a rough scene because I didn't know which way to go.
Oh, you thought maybe he was guilty for sure and they were going to put him away.
I wasn't guilty for sure, but I was suspect. You know?
Yeah.
What better way to cover your tracks than to investigate the murder? You know?
True.
But again, as we spoke about last week, none of these people can be the killer because then they'd be gone, right? We'd have to keep them around.
However, if we're going to get really, really dark, I mean, not my Archie, but if we're going to get really, really dark, if Jughead was guilty, they could keep him around. They would just have him around in prison or breaking out of prison or Betty coming to take care of him. Or
Oh, true, true, true.
So, who knows?
Then, yeah. Then you gotta have to confine him.
So, I kind of wanted to talk about that dream that Jughead had.
Yeah, in the beginning of 107, yes.
Well, you know, that was sort of cool for me because that was just like the epitome of what I thought Jughead and Archie and Betty and Veronica were, you know, just the loving family. And did you notice that Betty had an engagement ring on in that segment?
I did not.
Ooh, and it was from Jughead. Yeah, but then the part that cracked me up was, didn't Archie really have a knife in his back?
Yeah.
And they said, why did you stab me in the back?
Why are you dating my girl? Why are you dating Betty?
Oh my gosh.
Stab me in the back. But that was supposed to, that whole thing wasn't an idealistic setting. It was satire, and it also was showing how creepy it all was.
Well, I realize it was satire, and I realize people think it's creepy, but I thought it was just darling, you know, the lovely family of the 60s.
And then and Jughead just being like, what is going on?
I mean, the knife in the back.
He's freaking out. That, Mom, these are how horror films start.
Well, I don't like horror films.
Not my horror film.
Yeah, my horror film.
And we get to see Jughead's real hat for the first time.
Oh, I loved it. It looked like a birthday crown.
Yeah, it always... What hat?
It looked like they went to Burger King.
It's a dumb hat, Mom. Why do you want to be a purist about it?
If they ever get married, he has to wear that hat in the wedding.
I guess so. I guess so.
That's funny.
No.
I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Jughead's dad.
Yeah, let's talk about Jughead's dad, Skeet. Let's talk about Skeet Ulrich.
Is that his name?
That's the actor's name.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think we ever got FP. It was FP. FP is his character name, which I don't know what it stands for, but...
Fine person. I don't know.
Fine. Fine, upstanding person.
His middle name is Upstanding.
His middle name is Upstanding.
Okay. F-U-P. Okay. That kind of sounds bad. Anyway, Well, Skeet's doing a good job playing this character. He's a lowlife. What's interesting to me is he's drinking all the time. He's a big old... You know, alky, he's got alcohol over the place. Do you notice in this television show, every time there's some kind of morbid or sadness, they always make it real dark and gloomy in the lighting.
Yes.
And, but what was interesting is when they went to the bar that he's at with all of his snakes, serpents, he wasn't drunk at all there. He was like in a capacity of the boss. And he was acting very professional, in fact.
Yeah, is he the boss of the Southside serpents?
He's the leader.
Yeah?
He's the leader. Yeah.
I guess so.
Well, we've discussed that before. I'm almost positive he's the boss. Yeah, so that was interesting to me, you know. All those guys are down there playing pool, drinking beer and stuff, and he's just all in composure. Which most the rest of the time in his life, when he's not around the serpents, he's all drunk.
Well, that's the one thing that he has control over.
Correct.
In his life.
Correct.
You know? Speaking of control, I mean, he has his hands in everything more so than we initially thought. He, at the end of 107, we saw him with Jason's Letterman jacket.
Oh, no.
Which, to my mind, how did Jughead not see that? It's in the living room, just like plain as day. It is the brightest colors. It's like bright baby blue and yellow.
Jim, Jughead is colorblind.
No, it's not. He's blind to love, Dr. Yeah, Jones.
He definitely is right now with Betty Cooper.
Oh my goodness. And then Jughead's dad is maneuvering everything. I mean, now we even see that Joaquin's relationship to Kevin is not legit.
I'm not saying any words, but because today I get to actually see my son, but usually I don't. He's usually across the nation, but he sees me frowning because I'm really sad. I really want Kevin and Joaquin to be a couple.
But Joaquin said he really likes him, or Kevin really likes Joaquin, and there was a moment where I think Joaquin really likes Kevin.
I think so too, and they called him his boyfriend, so I don't know.
But that one's that's a ruse.
Right, I know.
You know?
So, anyway, yeah, and, Jughead's dad lives in I don't think you saw this part, but he lives in the Sunnyside trailer park.
I did not see Sunnyside.
And then you walk up and his trailer's all rusty, and then you go in there and it's all... I could just, even though I visually saw it, I could actually think about how it smelled.
If you don't know who Skeet Ulrich is, he was in the movie Scream, in which he played Neve Campbell's boyfriend, who, while she is getting sort of terrorized and all the people around her are being killed, he's there to hold her hand and to make sure she's okay and to protect her. And then we learn later at the end of the film that he is the killer.
Oh!
So he has a reputation for double-crossing and for seemingly, looking good on the surface, but having sinister motives beneath. And maybe that was a casting choice by the casting department to have him there. Because right now he's helping out Fred. He's trying to make amends with his son. He seems good on the front lines, but behind closed doors, he's making dealings, he has the jacket. There was something to be said with Jason never got the drop point, never delivered the drugs, and so the serpents obviously thought that he had run off with the drugs. And of course, they're gonna do something about it.
So let's talk about Veronica Lodge and how she rused her mother this time.
Yeah, she is turning into the old Veronica. I mean, she even talks about how she would do this stuff in New York. I mean, what happened to the reform Veronica of the pilot episode?
Yeah, Veronica's getting back to being the Veronica that I knew. However, I don't recall the Veronica I knew having a Black American Express card or a... Were they drinking alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and she had it all planned. She was going to take Kevin and Reggie and Josie, and they were going to go hang out in the disco.
Yeah, and this is the first time that we see, not to trail off too much, but this is the first time that we sort of see Veronica and Reggie together.
Mm-hmm.
Which, into my mind, was the couple.
Yeah, when she wasn't with looking for Archie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. So she did all that so that her mother would come back and they could make amends, but she could save face.
Yeah. But maybe Veronica is done with that now that she has negotiated terms with her mother. And now she's back to being the kind, reformed Veronica that we have seen. Because in the next episode, 108, she has the decision to throw the baby shower.
Yeah, Jim, you just want Veronica to be like the kind, loving person. And she's going to be that for a little while, I'm sure. But she'll come back and be bad again because that's Veronica.
Well, we have they're all reformed. I mean, even Cheryl Blossom is reforming. Cheryl Blossom is part of the gang now.
I think Cheryl Blossom's not perfect yet.
They're all not perfect. They're all doing stuff to.
She's got stuff behind. There's
even Archie's screwing up and going rash, you know.
Even Archie's screwing up. My Archie.
I mean, I wrote down everyone's emotions are always 0 to 60. So he hears about how his dad fired Jughead's dad, and he immediately, instead of listening or trying to figure out Fred's side of the story, he just like digs into him, you know? And then the moment that Fred's business is suffering, he goes to the, he immediately thinks it's the Southside Serpents, and he goes and he tries to get answers. A 15-year-old kid is gonna rough up some bikers. Yeah, that works.
Well, you know,
Dylan is gonna go rough up some bikers, Mom.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Nobody knows.
That's okay. The thing is, yeah, he does do that. And what's interesting to me is he talked about how his father always has his back. He never complains. He's even with him when he messes up, you know.
Archie's dad.
Right, Archie's dad. And so why would he get so upset with his father? Because his father would never get like that with him.
Again, I will keep going and talking about it to the day this show ends. But his father found out that he was having an affair with a teacher, and he was pretty okay about it.
Well, excuse me. Remember they talked about their van that they had?
The Shaggin' Wagon.
The Shaggin' Wagon. So I'm sure he was okay with that.
Well, he looked pretty embarrassed by it. It was Jughead's dad who was like, yeah. let's spruce that up. All four of us go around.
Oh God, stop.
Get some ladies. Oh, real father-son bonding trip.
Jughead's going, no way. No way. You're right about this, these two episodes. There's like not a whole lot to talk about.
Not a lot of episodes. Well, let's talk about, so we talked about the reference of 107. Now, 108 is, of course, a reference to the novel and subsequent movie, The Outsiders, in which these two rival gangs sort of butt heads. One of these greasers, they're rural, they're sort of on the wrong side of the tracks, and then there's the socials, or the socias, who are very, like, sort of cleaner cut, if you will. And the whole thing of the story starts when two of the greasers kill a social like Jason.
Oh! Woo!
Let's talk about, I wrote here the Stepfords of Riverdale's, the Coopers. When they had talked about how Polly and Betty's dad had offered to pay for a doctor for ostensibly abort the baby, I freaked out because the Cooper's mom, her face fell like silent and dead. And I'm gonna say that I thought that the dad was touching and raping Polly for half a second.
Oh.
But we found out that they, that he had not touched Polly, but that the mother and the father, these two perfect parents, this perfect couple, you know, they were high school sweethearts who got married, they had a child, and he paid for her abortion when they were teens.
Where was I when they were talking about that?
When the Coopers were having she had said to the father, "You are doing to Polly what you did to me."
Oh, okay. I must have been on Facebook at that time.
Probably.
Well, you know, I thought it was really interesting because the dad, Betty's dad, who I always thought is the big pushover.
Yeah.
Actually made this huge decision by himself without his wife about taking Polly to a doctor. So that was really interesting to me. And boy, this did not set right with Polly's mom. She kicked him out of the house on his nose.
Right. Well, isn't this cool? We see... I am loving this series. They sort of waver, but we do get to see these, like, 180s, these transformations of these characters. And so now we see the 180, the transformation, the reformation of Mrs. Cooper. She could have stayed a billowing meanie the entire time. But she showed some emotion. She showed some caring. She wanted, instead of her little hands and everything, she just wanted what's best and wanted her family back. I loved seeing that. And then we saw in that same sense, the evilization of the father.
I know, that saddened me. Because I really thought he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, I did
but,
too.
But apparently not.
While we're here, there was a moment in the Mom and Dad Cooper fight in which... she said, "By now you know what I'm capable of."
Right.
What is that?
Right.
Did she kill Jason? Or something else?
Yeah, she says, "I think you know what I'm capable of. What would people think?" he said. And she said, "I don't care anymore."
Yeah. Well, that's a relation to the Stepfords. Their nice veneer that they put on. But I think that other line says something more diabolical.
Well, you know, she was not happy with the fact that Polly was pregnant with Jason's baby. So anything is possible.
Right.
She could have possibly killed Jason.
She probably could have killed Jason. It,
especially out of anger. Like you said, all the people in Riverdale, even though they're the city of town of Pep, they go from 0 to 60 with their emotions.
They go from 0 to 60 with their emotions. Everybody sort of seems to have motive.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be a suspect in Jason's death.
Well, that's what makes it so great. We can't figure it out.
We can't figure it out.
Very cool. What I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that her engagement ring got burnt up in the car.
It did?
Well, that's
what I thought Nana had it. Well, or I thought Nana gave it to Betty.
Yeah, they did. No, it said that Nana gave it to Betty, but Betty gave it to Jason, I think, for safekeeping.
Oh.
And it was in the car when he was burnt.
Oh.
Well, they should be able to find
it. He wasn't burnt.
Well,
not... It was in the car.
When,
oh.
When it was burnt.
When it was burnt.
And oh. And they should be able to find a stone. It's like, diamonds don't burn up.
Oh, no. One of our favorite characters, Nana Rose, is back.
I love Nana Rose! I love Nana Rose! Oh my gosh.
To be a silly... apparently she's also part gypsy, and so now we're learning that Polly's gonna have twins.
Cheryl says she has dementia and a little bit of gypsy in her. I thought that was funny. Yeah, I love Great Grandma Blossom. I love Grandma Blossom.
She is going to be Great Grandma Blossom once the kids are
born.
Yeah,
she is. Well, you know, the part that I just adored was when Okay, so Betty's mom comes in very kindly to the shower and very
yes
demurely, and then all of a sudden, here comes Cheryl Blossom, pushes her way through
boom boom boom
this giant carriage and says it's the most expensive carriage, and then I don't know if you noticed this part but of course I did. Nana Rose is in her wheelchair and her, the mom's pushing her, and she's got all these packages on her lap, and they were all blue Tiffany packages.
I did not notice
from
that.
From Tiffany's. Yeah.
I'm glad that the blue Tiffany packages are from Tiffany's and not from any other place.
But what was really interesting, I noticed that she had opened some of her gifts, but at the end, after everyone left, there were still some gifts not open. And that might be because all that fight happened.
It probably, yeah, would have been... Probably was they ended it a little early.
Well, and how rude of Archie Andrews. Again, my Archie was so rude, just barge into that shower.
Yeah, he's not the best guy.
Excuse me, it's not all about you, Archie Andrews.
Yeah, he has nothing to do with it. He is blatantly selfish.
I know, I'm
it's
so
always
sad.
About him, and by his father, it's an extension of him. He's never helping Betty, except trying to look for Polly that one time, you know.
Probably felt guilty if he did. Well, no, he doesn't feel guilty.
But he doesn't feel anything!
How could he be like that, though? Because his dad's not like that. His dad is so nice.
Right.
Archie, in my comic book, was very thoughtful.
Hey now.
Yeah, so that was a disaster. But oh, and then oh gosh, of course they always have to outdo them. The Blossoms always have to outdo the Cooper. You know, Mrs. Cooper gave her the nightlight that was hers when she was a child, a little Cupid doll on yes. the top. Very cute. That's it? That's all she got? No, probably some money, I would think. It's like that's all she got.
It's her mom.
I would put a couple hundred dollars in there besides.
All right, well, I'm getting pregnant. I'm pregnant.
Anyway, in addition, then the Blossoms bring the wooden hobby horse that belonged to great-grandfather Blossom, which was really interesting because it was painted like it was brand new.
They probably restored it.
Oh, I thought they would...
You know how, like, you can restore things?
No, because it's supposed to be old and look like it's been played with, but probably not.
I thought it did look old and played with. Okay. It looked ragged.
Well, maybe I was on Facebook that time.
You get two more times to use that as an excuse. Use it wisely.
Okay. All right, so...
So we were talking about our favorite character, Nana Rose. Let's talk about our other favorite character, Kevin Keller. Kevin Keller was one of the construction workers.
I love Kevin Keller! And it cracked me up. Okay, I don't know if you noticed this, but when they walk up, they're all in their construction clothes. And there's Hermione, and she's all dressed really nice.
Yeah.
And he looks at her, and he points to her shoes and gives her a little look like, right. Nice shoes. It's just cracking me up.
There's still some play into some stereotypes, like in 107 when we went to the club and, you know, looking for my best gay. And he was like, yes, 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 honey, yes, honey. Go. But I also like that there's sort of, that he was... He was in it for the construction. He was in to do construction, and it didn't feel like he was forced. He didn't feel like he was, oh, I can't lift this. Or,
no.
You know, he can handle himself.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah. I did think that they missed an opportunity because I think that Joaquin was with them in that construction site too. I think so. Or even if not, I think that they missed an opportunity for Moose to get jealous.
Oh.
They missed an opportunity for Moose to, you know, pull Kevin aside and be like, you know, what's going on? Why aren't we hanging out anymore? Or I heard about you and, you know, the serpent guy and...
Well, and also, you know, you just brought up a good point. Moose got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been an opportunity for Kevin to go over there and, you know, take care of him and worry about him and all that.
Well, I don't think that Kevin cares for Moose. I think, you know, but I think that I think it would have been interesting to see the guy who was in the first few episodes going like, I'm not gay, to really care for this other man.
Yeah.
You know, to get jealous. I don't know, just my thoughts.
But I really want Joaquin and Kevin to be together.
And maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll get our version of Romeo at Still. So while we're there, let's go into our little relationship segment. It's not a love triangle. It's not a love quadrilateral. It's a love polygon. So there weren't many relationship things happening. The only big relationship that we saw, no turnovers happened, no new relationships forged. The only relationship that we saw was the strengthening of Betty and Jughead.
Correct. And in addition, they made reference to Archie.
And we saw Archie and Val, but they were just, we saw one little brief moment. They were together in his room. But they didn't even really kiss, you know.
But Dad did make a reference earlier on, how is your date with Val?
Right.
So they are dating.
They are dating, but I mean, they didn't really give it any weight.
No, and they really didn't even say too much about Archie and Hermione. Archie.
Fred and Hermione? Yes, Archie that is Hermione. Why I said in the beginning that it was mainly about Betty and Jughead. Perhaps to segue into talking about Betty and Jughead, and maybe no other person.
Okay. Okay. I can read my son's mind.
So, I am surprised and a little happy that they sort of started strengthening this relationship. I definitely thought that the moment that Jughead put his arm around Betty's shoulder, Betty, who is in the same room as her love crush, Archie, would brush him aside. And then we'd have this weird thing of we kissed and Jughead thinks it means more than Betty does and blah, 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 blah. But instead, they doubled down on them having an actual relationship.
I know. And I'm so happy about it. I like it. Don't like his hat, but like him and like her. And he looked pretty good in a little tank top shirt when he was doing construction.
He did. I wrote that. I said, Jugs has jugs. And by jugs, I mean guns. I mean arms.
Yeah.
And he had some pecs.
Yeah, a little. Not like Arch.
So what do you like that? Do you not like it? I'm enjoying this relationship with them. I
like it a lot. I think it's a good relationship. He's really understanding of her and he cares about her. He'll do anything for her.
Yeah.
Not like Archie, who's doing other things all over the time. You know, he's there for her. She knows he lives in the school.
Does she? No.
Okay, so, because I would think if she knew that, she'd take him in.
Right.
Okay.
But, I mean, he doesn't live in the school anymore. He lives with Archie.
Oh, duh. Where was my brain today?
Facebook.
You only get to use that one more time. Yeah, that's right. He lives with Archie, which is really cool. I like that a lot. So, I'm really excited about this relationship between Betty and Jughead. And but I'm not necessarily sure if he'll ever get to marry her because her first name does not start with a J.
No, wait, that doesn't matter. She'll take his name. Oh, his first name.
Her first name. Jellybean Jones and Jughead Jones.
Okay. But FP doesn't start with a J. It starts with an F and a P.
Okay, fine person.
Fine, upstanding, person. Colossal, king person. F-U-C-K-P.
Oh my gosh, stop it. I taught you better than that, Jimmy Robertson. Okay, so yeah.
So yeah. I hope that this strengthens, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. And we talked a little bit about Joaquin and Kevin. I hope that that Joaquin sort of breaks free from the serpents and decides to choose Kevin over his gang.
Yeah, that's a difficult thing because he has strength in numbers.
Yeah, and it's his family, too.
Right.
This whole show is about family, but like these definite episodes were about family.
Definitely.
You know?
But, yeah, and so maybe, so FP's sort of choosing his family a little bit. Jughead, kind of. He's starting to help out Fred Andrews and such.
Yeah.
So.
It's about getting back family. It's about holding on to family. That's why Hermione brokered a deal with Veronica. She wanted to get her family back.
That's right.
Archie and Jughead saying that they were brothers. You know, they're family.
They are. I love that.
So, and hopefully the Hatfields and McCoys, as they said, the Coopers and the Blossoms, will come together and become a family because of this child.
Ha! Hopefully. Oh, I hate Cliff Blossom!
Why?
Excuse me. Hate is a very strong word, and my mother always said never use that word. But, because he's just trying to manipulate everything. He took away all the construction workers from Archie's dad. I just don't like him. I don't like where he lives. I don't like his looks. I don't like anything about him.
My mother taught me to never use the hate, but she didn't tell me to not judge people based on their appearance.
No, not his appearance, his looks, like how he does his not the way he looks, but the way he does his looks. Doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
Okay, whatever. Someone out there knows what I'm saying.
Can I just say, I've been meaning to say this since like day one of this podcast.
Okay.
For a dead guy, Jason is getting a lot of screen time. We get to see Jason constantly, and I am happy for that actor. If I was that actor and I read that this like new television show was going and I got cast, but I got cast only to be killed, I wouldn't feel so great. But then to come back a bunch and do scenes.
Yeah, and they have to dye his hair every time. It's pretty red. I don't know. Is that his hair color?
Probably.
I don't know.
Why is that the first thing that you think of?
Because it's really red.
Okay.
It's really red. I can't wait to see what the babies look like. They're going to have to dye those babies' hair really red.
I love in shows, especially like in cartoons and comic books, that they never do like a perfect blend of babies. Like if the baby was an elephant and a butterfly, you know, like... And the baby was half elephant, half butterfly. It wouldn't be like an amalgamation. It would be like like an elephant with wings.
Exactly.
Or a butterfly with a snout.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
We're going to see this new baby having like half red hair, half blonde hair, just like split down the middle or something. Because that's the only discerning difference between these two families. Because literally, they are the same people.
But wait, if there's twins, there'll be one that looks like one family, the Andrews family, and one that looks like the other family.
Ooh.
Oh, and you know, I know we're going to wrap things up, but I want to tell you again, I love Fred Andrews. You know, what a great guy for... making that time card for Jughead, sticking up for him when he was in prison, jail. I forgot to talk about that, so I wanted to bring it up now. Okay. Yeah.
Fred's a real stand-up guy.
I like him. He kind of reminds me of your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad is a real stand-up guy. And
he's in the other room listening to all of this. Good saving face, Mom. Good job.
That's how you keep the marriage going. 38 years. Okay, let's move on.
All right, so let's go into our final segment, predictions and questions. So, I think the first question that I have is we find out that Fred's business is being sabotaged by Hiram, by Hiram Lodge. And we know that he knows about Fred and Hermione's relationship. So the question is, who ratted Fred and Hermione out to Hiram?
Veronica!
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 Yeah, do you think she did it before or after they brokered the agreement, though?
I think she did it before, and yeah, there was no stopping after that.
Or, oh, no. It was, maybe it was in her calling, in Hermione calling Hiram, and they put everything on the table.
Oh.
Remember they had that scene?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to hear Hiram's voice for the first time.
Oh.
You know.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of different things. It could be Mr. Blossom, but I doubt it because he wouldn't even want to give him the time of day. Hiram.
Why not? They're not enemies.
That's true. Well, and if he stirred up trouble like that, then they would be able to get the land.
That's true.
You see, so if Mr. Blossom called up Hiram.
Go a different route.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The other person it could be was Jughead's dad, but I don't think so.
No. Well, that goes into our second question. Do you think Jughead's dad's motives for helping out are pure, for helping out Fred?
I do. But there's still a part of me. There's like 75% of me, maybe 60% of me that mm-hmm. says, yeah, his motives are true. But there's about 40% of me that's saying, I don't know, once a bad guy, he's got some stuff back there. You know, he might owe some favors to people.
Right.
And, I'm sorry. He was making the deal with Hermione originally for that land only because Hiram was in prison. So initially, Hiram might have been making the deal with him. And one of the deal was keep an eye on my wife and child. Let me know what's going on in Riverdale while I'm in prison.
Right, but then why would Jughead's dad then tell Hermione that somebody ratted them out?
Oh, true. Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
You get that one.
Point to me. We are keeping score.
We are keeping score. We have a score pad right here as we speak, and it's lit up. It's cool.
Tally it up at home, everyone. So, next question. Why did Polly go to Thornhill, and was that a good decision?
Oh, I am so sad. Why did she go to Thornhill? You know, Betty's mother, she made amends, I thought, with Betty, telling her...
With Polly?
She told Betty, and then Betty talked to Polly.
Yes. No?
Okay, but they did make amends.
You've been saying that for a while. You've been confusing Betty and Polly.
I know, because in my mind, there's still one person, I don't know. But anyway, long story
short. Holding out hope.
He sent his father out the door and everything. But anyway, she chose to go there, to Thornhill. I think she's made a terrible mistake. I think those two parents are evil. I'm hoping that Cheryl isn't evil and that, even though I think she is, will befriend her and take care of her. And one more thing, I hope that Grandma Rose helps her out.
I think so. I think the last two things you said are true. Nana Rose loves Polly. And I think that in these last two episodes, we saw Cheryl's true colors. Or at least we saw the reformation of Cheryl Blossom. She really wants to help. I am loving that they're not keeping her the quote-unquote mean girl. That they're giving her depth and that she's caring for something other than herself. Even if that is Polly, an extension, her brother.
And you're right. She truly loves Polly, I think, at this point. because of the baby, because of her brother.
Yes.
And she was attached to her brother more than any other person in this world. And I think you're right. She'll probably do anything for Cheryl because it's her brother's child.
Cheryl will do anything for Polly.
Yeah, who did I just say?
You just said she'll do anything for Cheryl. She will. She'll do anything for herself. That is true.
This is the Janet Robertson Comedy Hour. Okay, here we go.
I don't know. Why did Polly go to Thornhill? It's, it might have been just logically, like, the best idea, like, for money. Maybe she can't forgive her parents for sending her away. I thought that they would. I thought that they were breaking new grounds. But I don't know. I don't think it's a good decision. I still think that the Blossoms have ulterior motives. And then the moment that they can rip that baby out of her arms and shove her off, they will. I think that they're playing her.
Well, it always worries me. You know, I don't like haunted films that much, you know.
Yes.
But I do know the times where I've seen where they take a person when they're at a certain level and they kill the person and they cut the baby out of the stomach.
Yeah.
And it kind of worries me, you know.
That they're going to do that as well? Me too. All right. And lastly, we always end with this question. Who killed Jason Blossom?
Alrighty then, this week...
What is this week?
This week, I think it was either Betty's mother...
Ooh.
Who is also Polly's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, or F.P. Jones.
Why F.P. Jones?
Well, it was really interesting to me because before the car was burnt... Mm-hmm. Remember the car had the jacket in it?
Oh.
And then the car went burnt. And now the jacket is in his house.
I was wondering how he got the jacket. Okay.
Or it could have been one of FP's serpents doing it for him.
The serpents, yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But those are my two logical thinkers.
Yeah. So FP absolutely burned down the car.
I think so for sure.
Or the serpents. Absolutely. They did it. They found the money. They found the drugs.
Yeah.
And they burned it. I don't think that the burning of the car is in relation to the murder of Jason Blossom. I think that, yes, FP and the serpents thought that Jason had run away with the money. And maybe they were going to go, or not run away with the money, run away with the drugs. And maybe we're going to go and try and find him and rough him up to get the drugs back.
Oh. That is a possibility.
But I don't think that they... I don't think that he or the serpents killed him. Because let's say that they found him. And let's say they found him. And they're just roughing him up, trying to get information. Where are the drugs? And then Jason tells them, and then they shoot him. So, why didn't they go to the car earlier?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, the serpents never saw Jason again. And only did they find the car because they were trailing and tailing Jughead and Betty.
Right. Or Jughead is FP's child. So, he might have told him.
No, they didn't.
Okay.
They have no relation until the beginning of this.
That's right. You're right. Okay. Go ahead. But then you made me stop and think.
Yes.
That the person who I always thought was the pushover.
Yeah.
Fred Cooper.
They already did that in the beginning. Betty asked and her mom laughed and said, I wish that Fred had killed Jason.
Well, how would she know if Fred did it? She didn't know that he took Polly to a doctor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with all these ideas. Or maybe it's Archie's dad.
Why would it be Archie? Now you're just going everywhere.
Okay.
Who's the original creator of Archie? It was him! With a pencil and an eraser.
It was the Walker.
It was the White Walker.
Okay, so I think right now our best bet is then Mrs. Cooper. That's what I think.
It's Mrs. Cooper.
And yeah. You think it's...
I was going to go with FP with you, but then I just logicked myself out of that. You know who would be interesting? Now that Hiram's people are involved in this, maybe Hiram in some weird way is responsible.
Oh my gosh. You could be right. Yeah. I can't wait to find out. I am so excited.
We don't have very much long to find out. We only have 5 more episodes until we are done with season 1 of Riverdale.
And next week, we're going to be doing it again together.
We're going to be doing it together. So, all right. Is there anything last things you want to say, Mom?
No, I really am enjoying this, and I'm really enjoying sharing it with my son, who looks like Archie Andrews.
It sounds real sincere, Mom. Thanks. As am I. All right. So... thank you again for listening to another episode. If you liked this episode, please subscribe. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We greatly appreciate that. And until next week, my mom and I might not agree on everything, but there's at least one thing we can agree on. This is not your mother's Archie. Bye, all.
Bye.
What happened to the reformed Veronica of the pilot episode?
Yeah. You have to excuse me. I have a little cold today.
Okay.